Let's just ask him to come. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, and we just pray that you would come now and open up our hearts to the things that lead to life, to the things which bubble up into an eternity of joy. Help us not to spend our times on what drags us down, what leads to destruction, but to be those who progressively come into the beautiful light of Christ. In your name, amen. All right, so I want you to imagine that Ferrari or McLaren or I suppose even Bentley, one of these very good car companies, that they do a prize draw and you're going to win the newest model that they have and fuel for life if you win, okay? And so someone wins this. And this is an incredible vehicle. It's poshier and shinier and better built than anything that has ever been built before it. It doesn't run on petrol or electricity, but every time you run it, whatever its fuel is, the environment is better off for it. So it's like, please run this as much as possible, okay? Dream machine. And someone wins this wonderful car. And it arrives, and they are gushing, and they put it in the garage. And then the excitement over having this incredible vehicle goes down. They only drive it once in a while, and only just around the block in first gear, okay? They don't even get into second gear, because that would be really fast, actually. They never, ever really run it. In fact, they don't even remove the plastic protective sleeve that's on the seats. I just think, oh, if I take that off, it might get dirty. And so it just kind of sits there in the garage. And the friends of the person who's won this amazing vehicle, they begin to say, oh, man, you are so missing out. Look what you've got. This is great. I mean, at least let us drive your vehicle, for goodness sakes, if you're not going to. Well, what does the Bible say? We have something far better than a measly car. God has gifted everything to you who believe, everything. We are new creations. We have new hearts. We have power to accomplish everything that we need to be accomplished. We have freedom from sins. We have the Holy Spirit coming to live in our hearts, and we spend eternity with him. This is truly the greatest of all, the most wonderful of all things that has occurred for us. And since God has given everything to us, that requires that we have an everything sort of response, an all I am sort of response. It's a gift, but it's also an investment. And so we don't want to sit there and let that amazing gift kind of sit in the plastic in our garage, wasting space. We want to celebrate it and use it and grow in it. If we're to take just one idea away, and this we'll be thinking about today, it might be this. God's given us everything, so grow a little every day and see clear evidence of your genuine faith. God has given you everything. And so grow a little every day and see clear evidence of your genuine faith. Consider how incredible the gift is and how it's intended to completely transform our lives. Completely transform our lives. So let's just go ahead, if we're not already in 2 Peter. Let's turn to 2 Peter. It's page 1223, and I'm going to read the first verse 3, but I'm actually changing the word order, so it's more like what's in the original text, so that you can kind of see what Peter is trying to tell us, okay? So I'm just going to read it. You can look and see what it says as well, but this is the way I've translated it. Everything for us from his divine power, everything for life and godliness has been given through the knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Everything for us, everything for life and godliness, okay? So you can hear the focus in Peter's words. He's saying, look at the extravagant gift. It's all for you, every little bit. And who in here has purchased a vehicle during their life, purchased a car? Who in here? Yeah, have you? Yeah, you don't have to raise your hand too high. No one will see. But if you have, you know, I went and purchased a few vehicles, and you think that you're getting the whole package, right? And then you go to the room where they're to do the finances, and you find out that you are definitely not getting everything. This is actually kind of a stripped down version. You could get all sorts of things. You could get cameras that lower and aircon that blasts from every angle and extra seat padding and retractable TVs. And when you go in reverse, you can see everything, and you can have a beeper that tells you you're getting too close, and you can get that for the sides. There's so much stuff. You can even get the car to drive itself. You could really get everything. And if you have 15 grand more, they'll give it to you as well, right? God has actually given us everything you hear. We're really getting every little bit of what we need. He's excluding nothing. He, out of the goodness of his heart and out of the love that he has for us. I don't know if you would agree with this, but I think that we're all searching, deeply searching for meaning, for something that is worth our heart and life, for something to define us and tell us who we are. And we feel like that's truly living if we can find those things, whatever we're searching for. And it's right here. God gives it. Everything for life and for godliness, it's this gift to us. And of course, what we're really talking about here is the good news of Jesus Christ. Okay? The God, because of his own loving character, not because we deserved it or did anything to receive it, He sent Jesus out of kindness to us to die the death that we deserved and to rise again so that we would be free from sin. But here's what we can miss. That gift on the cross was not just about giving us a one-off forgiveness that we don't have to worry about and there's nothing that changes. It's actually that this gift is to empower us and transform us entirely for the rest of our lives. We have been empowered to do everything we were meant to do. The gift goes on and on and on. There's nothing that wasn't accomplished at the cross that needs to be accomplished. It's all been done. Look at verse 4 here. That's not it. I'm sorry, just a minute. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So now we're beginning to see actually that we have a part to play in this, okay? It's hinting, right? He gives us these promises, and we take these promises, and we come out of the sludge pit of sin that's slowly leaking down towards death, and we join in God's holy life. God's holy life. And this is kind of a crazy idea. We're joining in God's holy life. Paul says, Christ in me is to live. Philippians 1:21. And so our trust in these promises, our acceptance of what was done for us, it leads to participating and sharing in God's very identity. In union with Christ. And so this is what we talked about a little bit in Romans, that as we put our trust in Christ, right, he comes and it's like we join him in all of the conquering that he did, and it becomes ours as well. And then we become conquerors outwardly too. We're told that we are the righteousness of God, the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We're participating in the divine nature. This is really wonderful news. One of the new vaccines that we have, mRNA vaccine, it actually takes new DNA and it puts it into your DNA if you've had that vaccine, which I have. So it takes different DNA and it puts it into your DNA. And then eventually the cells begin to produce whatever is there. And so this inward change then becomes this outward change. It shows up all over your body, in every cell of your body now. Eventually we look different. And it's the intention of this gift to shape us into people who look like Christ, who are loving, self-sacrificial, who long to be like Jesus. This is what you signed up for when you said, I want to be a Christ follower. You will be like Christ. You will become made in his image. And then it also says you escape corruption. Because remember that sin leads to death. And so the whole world is in this slow process of going down, down, down. And that's your old process too. That's what your old identity was about. Slowly going towards destruction. We are all under sin. And God in his mercy has given us this way out. And we're able to say no to what leads to regret and suffering and destruction. It's a great description of sin, by the way. You think that sin is going to get you something, but you always know at the end of the sea, sin, I think I was better off not having it. You know, I can tell that this is wrong because I feel worse at the end of it. And it may not be at first, but eventually you see this is making things worse for me. And God has given us the way to get out of that. So he's given this tremendous gift, but it's intended to transform us. And so the question that we want to ask ourselves is, are we being transformed? Well, if not, we're going to talk about how to do that. That's the next point. God has given everything, and so grow a little every day and see the clear evidence of your genuine faith. Second point, our response then to this massive, all-inclusive gift is to add to our faith, which is, we're going to make this very practical, grow a little bit in faith every day. Grow a little bit in faith every day. And so imagine that you have, for instance, this idea. There's a miner, and one day he runs across a massive vein of gold, hundreds and hundreds of feet below the earth. He finds this incredibly large stash of gold down there, right? And that's brilliant, but it's only job half done. He's going to have to dig that all out and bring that to the surface, and that is what is happening with us. We have this treasure within, and now God has said, now bring the treasure out. And so let's look at verse 5. Together. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. To mutual affection love. And so we have this big picture, don't we? God has given everything, and so have every diligence. Actually, that word is repeated. He's given us everything, and now have every diligence to invest in what he's invested in you. When I was 16, I was given one of the greatest gifts that I've received, which was a guitar. I didn't know how to play at the time. My dad got it for me. And this gift was an investment, actually. That guitar would have just been wood and strings and metal had there not been this day-by-day practicing. You're going to invest in this, and then it's going to be a real treasure, and it's going to be really useful. And I had to learn notes and to study, and hopefully what we played this morning is half decent because of it. But you keep growing in it, don't you? Two things about this word, add to your faith. The first is it's the same word that we would have the normal word chorus is the same. It has the same root, our word chorus. And so when you have initial faith, that's beautiful. It's like this single melodic line of music. I once went to a concert, and there was about 200 of us seated. And in the front, there was a guy. He walks in as the concert begins, and he has a guitar in his hands. And he begins playing this song. It's just this guy and a guitar. And you go, oh, why did I pay money for this? You know, just one guy and a guitar. And as he's starting to play, about halfway through the first verse, another guy just pops out of nowhere with a violin, right? And now we've got a violin going. And then towards the end of the first verse, somebody comes out and starts playing on the piano, right? And then someone comes out with a harp, and someone comes out with all these different instruments. And by the end, you got like 16 players on the stand, and they're all playing this beautiful symphony. This is what God intends for your life to be. You begin with this one little act of faith, but you add and add and add, and it is this beautiful symphony to him and to his love for you. So we really see this forward motion of faith, don't we? We keep going. Don't just play the one line. Add to it. Now, the second thing is this word add also means supply. Faith, in order to survive, needs to be supplied. I have fish, and so I supplied the fish with a tank and filters and gravel and plants, and daily I put food in the fish tank, and weekly I filter out half the water and put more water in. And these things are not so that the fish will be super happy. It's just so that the fish survive. The fish need to be supplied these things or they're going to be in trouble. And there is a progression here of faith just so that the faith remains faith and that we don't lose faith. Okay, and so we have this progression from, we start with this single act of faith, and where do we end? We end with, what is maturity? Love. Love. It's like an upward staircase, each piece taking us further to where we want to go. And so if you want to keep your faith, right, you have to actually keep your faith by, you keep growing. Once you start standing still, God gets distant from you. And we need to be careful that there's this lie that has gone about that Christianity is more kind of like a credentialed endeavor. You get saved, you get baptized, you get confirmed, you get the plaque, then you can stop and go on to whatever actually interests you. If you stop moving towards God, you end up with a faith that dwindles and dwindles and dwindles. And we see this all the time with young people who go to church, and we have the programs for them, and then we have, you know, Bible studies, and they're active, and they're saying, I believe this, and then they go to university, and they don't do anything. They just decide, I'm not going to do anything. It's time for me to have fun. And what happens almost always in that case is faith just goes away. Now, it might come back if they have children, because then suddenly they think, I want my kids to know something of that God that I remember I went to church for. But sometimes it just goes. Faith needs sustained forward motion. The Bible says it's like a race. We're in a race of faith, right? And that race doesn't end until the other side of eternity. It's like a long path, the narrow road. We keep walking on it until we see our King. So how do we grow, okay? So how do we grow? That's the question. Okay, if we got to grow, how do we grow? Now, that's what actually this series is going to take a look at, this whole list here. So faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. We're going to look at each one of these. There's all sorts of passages all over the Bible about these, okay? And so we're going to find out what it looks like to take each step of faith closer to the Lord. But let me just give you a suggestion. The longest journey is made one step at a time. It's just one step after another. You don't need to run the whole race today. You need to do one thing for God more. That's what you need to do. One thing more, and then tomorrow, the commitment is tomorrow I will do one thing more again. I will just keep doing one thing more. I will keep progressing in my faith. God has given everything, and so grow a little every day and see clear evidence of your faith. Lastly, the result of our faith is sure evidence that it is effective and lasting. And we see this in verse 8. It says this: for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those should be somewhat disturbing words for you, okay? Let's dig in and see what they say. That should really bother you a little bit, that it's worded like that. So we'll talk about that in a sec. But you'll notice the first thing it says is this promise that if we keep growing, if we keep moving forward, we're not going to stumble, and we're guaranteed fruit. We're guaranteed fruit, and we're guaranteed that it'll be effective. And so there's this sense of needing to act on this promise. If you do this day after day, you will get this at the end. I have a plant at home, and I want the plant to eventually produce fruit. And it's just a seed at this point, right? And so I put it in the ground, and then I watered it, and I continue at it. I water it regularly. I make sure it has the light it needs. I'm going to have to do this for a number of days, months, years. But eventually, that persistence means it is going to fruit. And that is what God is promising us here. Keep at it. I promise it will be good, he says. I promise it will work. And then second, we have this interesting thing about confirming your call and election. You know, it's saying something really disturbing, actually, that we can think we're saved, and the author here is saying, now hold on, you better make sure, actually, that you're saved. Isn't that what he's saying here? He's saying, oh yeah, you came forward, and you wept, and you received Jesus. But wait a minute, you're going to need a little bit more certainty than that. Oh dear, you know, this is hard to deal with. Confirming your call and election, that you are chosen by God. Okay, now, let's add some important caveats here. Everybody knows, and it's been said here, we're saved by grace. Through faith, that we don't earn heaven. This is a gift of God. No one should boast, right? So we're not earning our salvation. But what's going on here is that our changed life is proof that God has been working in us and through us. As we can see that we are not the same people that we once were, that we want to live for Jesus and live in his presence. And that there are these fruit, tangible fruit of how we have become new. This is, it's like the heart monitor at the hospital. The heart monitor cannot save you. It's beeping there. It tells you, though, that you have a heart and that it is working. It is functioning. And our good deeds done in faith and our continuing after the gospel, it proves that our faith is real. And without such things, we have good reason to doubt that our faith is real. And look, there's someone here that is short-sighted. They've forgotten, it says, that they were washed. And so you have this condition where you can have believers who get really off track and they forget, I've been washed and I've been cleansed. And they find themselves in places that they really don't want to go. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say that you go to the gym, okay? And you work out really hard, and you are just a sweaty, smelly mess, okay? What do? You go home, you take a shower, and you get washed of all of that sweat and all of that gross stuff. And then who in their right mind, after they've done all of that, says, hey, where's my sweaty gym clothes, and puts all that back on, right? Who says, I've been cleansed, but you know now I'm going to go right back to the nastiness of it? The grossness of it, the disgustingness of it. And yet that's what we do. We've forgotten that this is not the way for us. We are new and we keep going into newness, more and more glory, more and more love. You're cleansed now. Stay out of that junk. And then lastly here, sometimes in love, God withholds from us the assurance of our salvation. And we have to say it this way. Sometimes in love, God withholds from us the assurance of salvation. And he does so because we're doing things that are unpleasing and gross and disgusting. And he's like, I'm not going to give it to you now because I want you to change. Because I love you. I'm not going to tell you you're going to go to heaven, he says. Because if I told you that, you would just continue with your sins. And so I'm going to say, you need to check. You need to check and see if you're really saved, because I know that it'll cause you to come to me and to begin to grow and to begin to be changed. And so he says, no, but I will give it to you. I will give it to you when you determine to walk after me day after day after day. I promise you that, he says. He is loving. And so this cycle of growth makes us know that our faith is real. We know where we're going. We know who we are. God has given everything, so grow a little every day and see clear evidence of your faith. So what can we take away from this message? I sure hope no one is feeling guilty. I'm going to talk about what I want you to feel in a second, okay? And what I think the Lord would have you feel, okay? If you're like me, part of you is excited at hearing this information. God has done a very good thing. You are new in Christ. You are free to live for him, full of life, full of joy. It is the most wonderful thing in this world. It's a gift. And are you ready for that adventure? Are you excited for that? So part of me is very excited when I hear that. But there's another part, and maybe you relate to this. The other part says, who are you kidding? Sounds too good. You know you're going to fail. You know you're going to try to live for the Lord, and then you're going to fall into sin, and you know, just go back to being who you are. We all know who you are. You'll never change. Don't even try. That's the other voice. The voice says that you cannot walk in newness of life. You cannot grow with God. You're just going to stay the same no matter how you feel. I just want to point that out, that is not God speaking to you. It's not even you speaking to you, okay? That's your jealous neighbor who wants your car for himself, who says, I want him to stay under my power. That's the devil. You don't need to feel guilty as you hear this and you say, oh, I'm not growing. The idea is that you wouldn't feel guilty. The idea is that you would feel FOMO. Anyone know what this is? FOMO? Fear of missing out. Listen, this is the most wonderful thing in the world, that we would live by faith, that we would live in God's presence, that we would have his grace on us, that we would lose ourselves and become who we were really meant to be, and it's all been given in Christ. I would hate for you to miss that. I'm not going to miss that. I would hate for you to miss what you're made for. It is so good. I invite you into it. Jesus has accomplished it on the cross. Well, it just seems like so much. How do we do it? It's really very simple. Just take one step of faith and do one thing that you haven't done for God today. And then tomorrow, you'll worry about that and do it again. Just one thing, one concrete thing. So can you think of anything that you know God wants you to do? And you could do it today. That could be your way of saying, I want to grow with you today. You'll have a moment to say to God, I want to grow today, and here's the one thing I'm going to do today. And then we can think about tomorrow. Right, that's the beginning of the cycle of growing. You're just going to grow every day. Now, I have a personal testimony on this. So one of the things that I've been thinking about, there was a point in my life where I was really listening to people. I think right around university, I was a good listener, and I'm totally lazy about it, and I'm totally uncaring. And I've just seen this kind of realization that I often talk about myself, and I often don't listen to other people. It's really bothered me. And I also, that I let people pass by without showing any care whatsoever, without showing any of God's love. It was just really bothering me, some of these issues. And so I made this decision, right, that part of my growing would be that I would no longer have conversation with people that at the core, it's going to be about me. I'm going to try to speak to people for the purpose of showing them the love of Christ and listening to them and showing them the acceptance of Christ and wanting them to be built up instead of whatever else it was that I was going to speak about. And so I've started this thing where I try to take every single opportunity to show love to somebody else. If that's driving in my car, I smile at the people who are driving. They look like they're about to hit somebody, but I smile at them, okay? If it's the person in the line in front of me as I'm waiting, I show grace. This is what I'm trying to do. And I'm not perfect. And you know what? There's this wonderful grace that we have, isn't there? But let me tell you, it has turned my world upside down. I am so thrilled to have the focus come off of me. And everywhere I look, the grace of God is needed in all these different individuals' lives. And I've smiled at people who I don't know. And I've made conversation with people I would never make conversation at the grocery store. And you know what? Not a single time has somebody said, "How dare you talk to me? How dare you smile at me? How dare you tell me about God's love through your behavior?" It's all been blessings, and I wouldn't change it for anything, and I'm never going back. I'm going to grow. Let's grow together. Are you determined to grow? You have the Ferrari. Get out and drive it, guys. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we...